Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Grapplecast. It's me, your host, Taryn, and today the band is still together. It's Jamie, it's Joe, it's Dan. Hello.
What up, Oos?
Hello. Hello, my trouble chief.
Acknowledge me. Acknowledge me, Solo Sokoa.
Oh, no.
And that Tamba Tamba Tonga.
And the tambourine himself. Yes, how are we all? How are we doing?
Yeah, great. Yeah. Thoroughly sports entertained. I absolutely love watching wrestling where they walk through the turnstiles, through the arena, down the steps and to the ring every single episode. I'm absolutely loving it.
I like to think that all wrestlers, whenever they're just about to have a match, they decide to go and stand outside the arena, outside the main, or what? Not even the main entrance, the side entrance, and wait for their call to get to Gorilla and go, okay, I'll now make my way through the arena to come in.
For Jey Uso to come out and go, and
yes.
Then they go, oh yeah, what are you doing out here, Sammy? Oh, just looking at the architecture on building. Oh, brilliant.
From now on, you won't get an agent saying, right, 5 minutes or anything like that. They will just send Jey Uso to come and get you when your match is due.
Molly Holly must have been going nuts not being able to find him.
How are we all, though? We all had a busy week?
Not too bad. I mean, it's quite early in the week, to be fair. But
it already feels like it should be the end of the week. It's been a busy couple of days.
Oh, it's always busy for you, but no, it's all good. Living the wrestling dream. Watching lots and lots of sports entertainment, so can't really complain.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's been a... obviously we had Mania last weekend and the Raw after Mania, and we've entered the new era, the Triple H era. And I don't know, it's just... It's on a high, isn't it? Specifically WWE. We'll get onto AEW because, believe you me, we've got something to talk about in regards to that. But yeah, WWE-wise, it's keeping that high, isn't it? And Triple H again on Raw this week. He likes showing up every week now, and the crowd are going mental for him. And I'm enjoying riding the wave, Joe.
Yeah, Triple H, just the new season of WWE. You know, he brought out Cody Rhodes. He's like, this is now your new leader of WWE. His name is Cody Rhodes. And obviously, Damian Priest is a new champion as well. And that kind of led over to SmackDown as well, where they're like, okay, well, you know, I'm here on SmackDown, and they gave, you know, Miz and R-Truth new championships as well on Raw. So yeah, lots of cool little things happened, lots of new sign-ins. You never know who's going to
new sign-ins. So we know Tama Tonga. Who else?
Well, yeah, Tama Tonga. That's who it's all about.
There'll be some call-ups from NXT. We've got the draft bot in a couple of weeks, and they've basically confirmed NXT is part of the draft. Apparently, it's officially part of the draft where they're going to be drafting people over to NXT as well. I assume that'll be kind of in the same breath that they've been doing with things like Ivar and things like that, where it's main card talent who aren't necessarily doing much but can help elevate the younger talent at NXT. And I don't necessarily have an issue with that. So, yeah, there'll be some coming up from NXT as well. So it's an exciting time. And, I mean, Dan, if we look specifically at SmackDown from last week, we had the new story, if you would, in respect of the Bloodline in regards to how it's going to move forward.
Bloodline Civil War 2. We're going to get the new breed, the Wolf Pack versus the old breed, the original Hogans. So, yeah, I think that'd be brilliant. Like, actually,
Do you want to give us a rundown of how it all went down on Friday night?
Yeah, well, it started off that they were in the ring. Paul Heyman was cutting a promo, and Solo kind of, well, we all know that Solo's the heir apparent. And he was like, no, he said there's consequences to losing, even though that he's on a 0-23 losing streak on live events.
He hasn't won since he beat Cena, has he?
Nope. So, but that doesn't matter. It's all about WrestleMania, baby. Woo. And obviously, Jimmy Uso lost at WrestleMania. So he took it. He's like, he gave him the usual hug and I love you. And then he got blindsided by Tama Tonga. They beat him up. And then they took Paul Heyman's phone off him and stood on it. And Paul Heyman looked physically shaken up. And then he said it was by orders of the tribal chief. So it's interesting to see. It definitely got everybody buzzing. They were talking about it on Raw. And of course, Tama Tonga is a founding member of the Bullet Club, been in New Japan for a good 10 plus years. Very well respected.
The real Bullet Club, the one that hasn't made its way onto AEW.
The real Bullet Club. I think there's only one member of the real Bullet Club, I was reading yesterday, that actually hasn't worked for WWE, and he's part of the, I think, the Australian contingent of the Bullet Club at the moment. Tamalele? I can't remember off the top of my head his name. I've absolutely butchered that. But it's good to see, Bullet Club were absolutely racking it up back in, what was it, 2013, 2014, before Finn came over to NXT. But it's exciting. The guy looks absolutely ripped. You can see him absolutely smashing it. You can see him being a champion. And Solo kind of stepping up and not being the back guy. He's being the front guy now. Absolutely exciting times. And everybody was buzzing. We actually were coming home from town on the Saturday, Friday night, going into Saturday morning. And I said to Joe, I've just looked and I've seen this on my phone. I can't wait to wake up in the morning and watch that.
Call Roman Reigns. That was my favourite bit. Where he was panicking and, that's when he threw the phone on the floor and stood on it. And he's basically going...
had a warranty.
Yeah, well, you don't need Roman Reigns anymore. I'm the new tribal chief. Surely it's going to lead... I mean, I don't know how long they can play out, as long as they need to. War games. I assume it's going to be like a bit of a civil war. The bloodline's going to split half on this side, half on that side. Jimmy and Jay will probably get involved together again. You know, they're not going to be against each other the whole time. Although in saying that, one may side with Roman, one may side with Solo, just to try and build it up. We've also got, why is his name gone out of my head now? One of the Fatus.
Jacob,
who's been rumoured to have signed. And so,
Umaga's son?
Yes. Will, I assume, probably sign himself with Reigns, maybe to try and balance it up. I don't know, but... They are definitely finding ways to keep a storyline that's been going on for the best part of 3 years that Roman was champion for, and they're finding new life in it, and I'm all for it because it doesn't feel overplayed. Even though it's been going on 3 years, it doesn't feel overplayed. It's exciting. It's good to watch. So yeah, I enjoyed SmackDown. I did.
Yeah, me too.
Did we watch Raw last night, though? Isn't that the question?
We literally finished watching it an hour ago. Absolutely loved it. We watched it because that's how we knew that Sami Zayn walked to the ring.
Jamie, did you watch Raw from last night?
What's a Raw?
Do you know what
happened? I've read the results this morning. Obviously, I work in Burnley, which isn't in Blackpool. So, I got home at 7:15. Had my dinner, and as time of recording now, it is 7:50. So as soon as I got home, had my dinner, I was on this call. So no, I haven't watched it because some people have to work.
The commitment.
Did you see Turf Moor?
No, but I've been to Turf Moor. Turf Moor's up the other direction, but as part of work, sometimes I get tickets to go if I want to.
Happy place.
So I went to Burnley Brentford, which was a good game. It was the first win in ages.
Brentford are the bees. What are Burnley?
The Clarets.
The bees? No, yeah, they are the Clarets. But our esports team are the Burnley bees. Yeah. So if I want to, I'll go see it. But it's going back to Burnley on a Saturday when I'm there Monday.
I would certainly recommend, if you get a chance to watch Raw or even the highlights of Raw, to watch it. I know what happens. Yeah, well, it was another decent show. I actually enjoyed it more than last week's Raw after Mania. I just thought it progressed things much more. And I mean, obviously, this week though, Joe, we started off with the news that Rhea Ripley, no longer your women's world champion. She's had to vacate the title.
Yeah, she's injured her shoulder. Well, me and Dan were discussing this earlier on. I noticed at WrestleMania that she had like a little bandage or something on her arm. So I didn't know whether the injury was pre-WrestleMania or after WrestleMania, but I read on the dirt sheets, apparently her arm was a little bit hurt, but then there was like a backstage spot with her and Liv Morgan where Liv Morgan pushed her into a wall or something, and she dislocated her shoulder or something, and that's what caused her to get injured. So
she's on a revenge tour though, isn't she? And who do you think, if she's now taking out Rhea Ripley, who do you think's next on a revenge tour?
The revenge is mine.
Well, she might be coming. Did you see that Eric Rowan this week has cancelled all of his live events? So there's rumours that they might be forming some sort of Wyatt Family 2.0.
Did you not see the QR code flash up on Raw this week? I think it was during the New Day's entrance. And I watched it back 4 or 5 times because it only just flashes up with the distorted image. And I tried so many times to get it and I managed to get it. And it's like two images of, if you put them together, it spells out a web address. And when you go on the web address, it's in an image of what looks to be like a Greek statue with a raven behind him looking through some form of like magnifying glass. It's all very strange. Apparently people have had a look online but it basically, it all connects to Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt Six and all this kind of business. I read also that, like you said, that Eric Rowan has cancelled all of his indie booking appearances coming up. There's also, as of this morning, very, very heavy rumours that Matt Hardy's coming back and he's going to be part of the Wyatt Six. So you're going to have Hardy, Rowan, probably Strowman, Uncle Howdy, and Alexa Bliss. Is that 5 or 6? I don't know.
They could add 5, one but we could have Jeff Hardy.
Well, he's still under AEW contract for another year and a half, I think I read. But Matt Hardy is now a free agent, so...
That'd be pretty cool. I mean, we'd be happy to see it. And they've got, when you watch the documentary, they've got all of the costumes, the masks and stuff all ready to go. You can definitely see that there's hunger for it. Got loads of European and dates coming up and international dates coming up. So bring it all across the world. I think everybody will proper pop for it.
My only worry for it is, of course, we haven't got the mind. We haven't got the genius mind of Bray Wyatt. You know, it was Wyndham Rotunda's ideas, basically. 90% of it was, this is what I want to do, and 10% of it was, okay, this is how you turn it into a televised product type thing. Without him, is it going to be as strong? I've got more confidence with Triple H and his team being in charge than perhaps if it was Vince. But I'm happy to see how it goes. If indeed it is the White Six, it could end up being the return of Baron Corbin to the main roster in the draft.
Well, if anything, he's going to go with Bron Breakker and keep that tag team of the Wolf Dogs going strong because they're proper over there. But they lost their NXT tag titles to Knife and Frazier and Axiom, that A kid. They lost
a kid. If we just go back quickly, though, to Rhea Ripley, though, it is a shame that, you know, she's... I'm kind of looking at it in two ways, a positive and a negative. It's a shame that she's no longer the champion. We all said at Mania there was no reason why she should drop it. She needs to continue looking strong. And then you can also kind of look at it as a bit of a blessing in disguise. Well, it's a way to get the title off her without her looking weak and freshen things up ever so slightly for the next, I don't know. She said she's going to be out for a few months. Let's just say 6 months, for example. You know, freshen things up, whether the title's going on Live or who knows.
Roxanne Perez.
What's
it called? Lyra Valkyria could potentially do it. You know, could be a couple of the people from NXT.
Yeah, it gives that reason to get the title off her without her having to lose it. And then she can come back and ultimately win it back. And it almost felt like a double turn as well. You know, Liv's effectively a heel now without needing to try effectively, and then it just gives space for, you know, give it 6 to 8 months, Rhea comes back, people will pop like nothing.
They were proper booing Liv Morgan on that backstage segment.
Yes, they were, but you could see from her promo she was trying to be like, well, it's not, you know, I didn't expect to do that and all this kind of stuff. And then
she took me for six months and nobody cared. Everybody's crying.
She's definitely ticking over to that tweener heel type gimmick, which, you know, great, great stuff. I do like Liv Morgan. I prefer Liv Morgan to Alexa Bliss. Really do.
The evil is both mine.
The evil is both of them. Speaking of the evil, what about the fact that we got evil Sheamus back, but he's a face, he is back.
I thought you were going to say Alexa Bliss is finally training, ready to return. No. But no, that's happening. But yeah, evil Sheamus.
Sheamus is back.
It's a shameful thing. Lobster
back
head.
Back with his original theme. Too many limes. Lobster head. The original theme is back. He's got a slightly new attire. He's wearing shorts instead of trunks. And not quite. You can see that he's enjoyed a couple of He's enjoyed a couple of bevvies whilst he's been. Yeah, exactly. He needs a couple more months to define and tone himself up a bit. I mean,
well, you need a few beers watching Liverpool, to be fair. So,
people were being arseholes online. Look at him. He's fat, they were saying. No, he's not fat at all. I think, about the internet wrestling community out there, believe me, he's not fat. He just needs to shred him. He needs another month of shredding himself. It's fine.
I thought you were about to say shredded wheat then. I was like, no.
Shredded wheat, yeah, exactly. He looked fine. And
Intercontinental Championship match, Clash at the Castle, beating Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I did think he was going to potentially, because he kind of come back as a face, and I said to myself, oh, he's going to get involved in the main event here, and he's going to, probably beat down Sami Zayn afterwards or something like that, and, just turn heel again straight away and then get yourself in a program, which he didn't do. There's still time. Instead, we got a different heel turn, but I will be interested to see what they do with him. He's getting towards the tail end of his career now. There's been a couple of times where he's come back and then had to disappear after a month or two because he's picked up some sort of nagging injury. So I hope for his sake, he's back more or less full time now and can get over whatever issues that he had. Because the problem with Sheamus has been stop, start. I don't think he's necessarily going to pick up a world title again anytime soon, but probably not for the rest of his career. I'd be surprised. But they were very much, all the way through commentary, they were going four-time world champion, reminding you that he's won the world title four times. But, I don't know. Good to see him back, though.
Great to see him back. And the crowd were popping for him.
Yeah.
They were popping for too many limes. Lobster head.
They started it off and it was like, and then it just went straight into a shameful thing, lobster head.
They've mixed it up, haven't they? It's the beginning of his, I say new theme, he's had a few years now, but beginning of his new theme and then going straight into his original theme.
Loved it. And the other thing works well, and I'm glad they put him on Raw and they've got Pete Dunne on SmackDown and they got Ridge the Fridge over on NXT. They've got the Brawling Brutes all split up, so we don't have to see the dissension with that now. We can just move on.
Jamie, have you seen any pictures of the new Tag Team Championship belts?
Yeah, actually. So that was the first thing. As I log in the morning, go on Instagram, it was that kind of R-Truth and The Miz getting those new belts. So I watched that little video. Comes in and does the splits for no reason whatsoever. But, it's R-Truth. We love it. It's fine. And then he started talking about calling him Tommaso Ciampa. Which obviously set up the feud because DIY then won the number one contender match. But they look pretty nice. Better than that red and blue kind of crap that they used to have to simulate Raw and SmackDown. So they look pretty nice.
Well, if you look at the actual belts, it's basically the World Heavyweight Championship, just with a slightly different design. And they have gone back. It's not going to be called the Raw Tag Team Titles. They've gone back to calling it the World Tag Team Championship. So I assume the ones on SmackDown will be the WWE Tag Team Championships like they used to have. So. And again, I don't know, but I assume their belts will probably debut this Friday and they'll probably look more like the WWE title. They need to change those belt designs. I think I read earlier, we've had them belts for either 12 or 14 years. I couldn't believe, I thought we'd had them for about 13, 14 years we've had the belts for. Where has that time gone?
We'll just have to wait to see now what the WWE Speed title will look like in a few weeks.
Have you watched any more of that? I've still only watched.
I watched every single one. Every single one. Taryn, I don't miss anything WWE.
Have any of them not finished within the allocated 5 minutes yet?
No, there was one this week that was literally within the last 2 seconds, and there was just like a slight roll up, and then that was it.
Have there been any that have finished like? After a minute or two.
Bronson Reed's opening match finished within a minute. But then it was Axiom versus, I can't remember who Axiom was facing. But he ended up literally winning within 2 seconds.
Who was Bronson Reed facing?
He was facing, he tags with Ashanti Adonis. What was his name? He's in the Hurt Business. Cedric Alexander.
Yes.
He just hit him with a tsunami. But it'd be interesting because I think it's between Ricochet, JD McDonough, Axiom, and I think it's like Tyler Bate, maybe. It's between those four who's going to be the first speed champ. I mean, I would assume that it would be Ricochet, but I mean, it'd be cool with JD having that title go to the Judgment Day. I think the aesthetic would look pretty cool.
I just wonder when they crown the speed champion, what, you know, what happens then. I know it has to get defended, but I suppose the thing I'm trying to say is how long are they going to keep this up before they fall out of favour with it? You remember when they launched Main Event as the, like, pre-show to Raw or SmackDown, whatever it was, and I think it's still going Main Event, isn't it?
Yeah, I watch it every week.
Yeah. But you think about when they first launched it, probably about 10-plus years ago now, and the first week or two had John Cena in a match, had, I can't think off the top of my head, Randy Orton in a match, for example. And then very quickly after week three or four, it was jobbers, enhancement talent, it was whatever, and it has to, or people that just aren't getting on the main card. And
what
it has
they
been...
use it for now, so say, for example, they're looking at Josh Briggs, for example, in NXT, they would be going, well, he's a tenure vet, he's really good in the performance center in front of Full Sail University or whatever they're calling it, but we want to see what he looks like in front of a crowd. So they're basically putting them in on Main Event. And if you're watching it on a regular basis, you're seeing the same sort of people. I think they were doing it with Odyssey Jones this time last year. He was having a match on Main Event every single week for about 3 months.
And where is Odyssey Jones now?
Well, he's still helping and developing others. I don't think they've given him a proper character people can get behind. They were having him as sort of on the WWE Speed, but Pete Dunne is producing all of the matches on WWE Speed.
Yeah.
What I read the other day. But they've been debuting people like Brooks Jensen on Main Event. They've had a couple others come up. So they're the sort of people that they're okay. They're doing all right on NXT, but they're sort of seeing if the crowd get behind them. And they did it with Chase University, Andre Chase. He's like a 15-year veteran. You know, he's part of PWG when it first started. Really good. But they would put him on Main Event to see if the crowd knew about Chase University. Got by the gimmick, they didn't. Nobody cheered. Nobody knew what he was doing. Nobody knew his catchphrases. So he's kind of been down there now for, a good 3 years. But it is a good way. It's like a litmus test with the crowd to see. Like Tony D'Angelo, they put him on Main Event. Everybody was popping. He was doing the Goodfellas gimmick. He's somebody potentially I can see being called up. But it's good because it's basically... it's like NXT, but it gives them that platform, like a litmus test to see if they work on the roster.
Fair enough. At least they're doing something with it now. I think what I was getting at was more that very quickly, within a month or so, they kind of lost interest in Main Event and just thought, well, the dark matches that we would normally have, we'll throw them onto Main Event. You know, are they just going to do that with WWE Speed eventually? You know, how long will it last? But we'll see. We'll see.
I think it's good on Twitter. If you're scrolling on Twitter, or X, as it's called now, and you're not a wrestling fan, but then all of a sudden you see trending now, WWE Speed, and you're scrolling through your timeline, somebody's retweeted it, because it has a lot of retweets, and then all of a sudden it's a three-minute match. You're like, well, I've got 3 minutes. I can watch this match on my phone in 3 minutes. I don't need a subscription to the network. I don't need BT Sport, or TNT Sport, as it's called. You know, I don't need any of these platforms like Peacock. I literally watch it on Twitter, free app, job done, 3 minutes. You know, you take a poo, you can watch a wrestling match, job done.
The exposure to the wrestling, not the toilet activities, of course. Joe, main event on Raw this week then saw Sami Zayn defend in front of his hometown against the man who was very much in support of him, Chad Gable, in a very decent match, which that comes to no surprise at all because it's Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. But the interesting element was what happened afterwards.
Yeah, so as you said, it was a very good match, very technical match, very ground-based match, but obviously it's in Sami Zayn's home city of Montreal. Everyone was doing ole ole chants. You know, it was very tightly contested, but ultimately Sami Zayn won, goes to hug his family, Chad Gable snaps, suplexes him, goes to ankle lock him, put him in the ankle lock, like beats him up. So I thought this, as Dan said, that thought this was going to happen on WrestleMania, that he's going to turn on him at WrestleMania. So you can kind of see him writing on the wall for a couple of weeks now. But yeah, I thought this was a really good turn. Like, he went from being beloved to being hated within, what, like 2 seconds? Like, everyone was like cheering him, like, oh, well done, you tried really hard. And then put on Sami Zayn in his home city in front of his wife and his parents. You know, I think that was a masterstroke. So I thought it was really good.
I love the fact that he German suplexed him whilst he was in the middle of kissing his wife. that was great. Kissing his wife just came up from behind him and went, oh, lifted him up and did it. And then The thing I like more about this the most is the fact that he got Sami Zayn to the top turnbuckle and with the ankle lock on him on the top turnbuckle, and that was the closing shot. And, you know, if you think about it, going back not even that long ago, I know they have pushed Gable a tiny little bit from before when he had his couple of matches with Gunther and that type of thing, but, you know, Chad Gable was the closing shot of Monday Night Raw this week in a position where he wasn't down and out, he wasn't well done for trying type thing. No, he was the dominant force in the closing shot of Raw this week to end the show. That's brilliant for him.
Absolutely incredible. And the Creeds have been jumping on the bandwagon. There was a footage of him training with the Creeds before when the ring was being set up, and they're basically teasing like a team angle kind of thing. Well, of the Creeds and Chad Gable, because you've got the Alpha Academy, who are a face team, you know, really putting over the new talent, and then you've got the Creeds. The Creeds needs some sort of spark. That'd be cool if they put him and did some sort of new team angle sort of gimmick. I think that would look really cool, especially with the Olympics coming up.
Well, yeah, exactly. And sure, not anytime soon, I don't think, because I think they want Sami Zayn to have a decent run with the title, but surely he's got to pick it up soon, that title. He's got to pick it up.
Yeah, we hope so.
He's got to,
yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, Sami Zayn weren't going to hold it for long. It was Chad Gable's. A nice
he's a transition.
Give him something different. Zayn got his moment again, but I think something at like maybe Bash at Berlin, maybe even French Backlash.
Surely we'll Kevin Owens is going to win the title because he speaks French.
It's true. You need a French-Canadian to do it. Whoa. Doesn't Sami Zayn speak French? I mean,
he speaks about seven languages, yeah.
But then when they're in Clash at the Castle, the people who speak Gaelic, you know, they'll be the ones that win the title in Scotland. But then when they go to Bash in Berlin, that they've only got a couple German stars, so they're the ones who are going to win in that occasion.
Right.
You can see how fuming Joe is. You're never going to live that down, Joe.
Well, don't worry.
Never mind.
Because we're going to move on from one fuming thing to another. We've got to the point of the show where we have to discuss, we just have to discuss the footage aired on AEW Dynamite last Wednesday. We have to do it. Any, genuine wrestling journalist, wrestling podcaster spoke about it. So being, you know, the premier wrestling podcast in the world, I'm sure that we are, we have to discuss it. So, of course, the Young Bucks said that they were going to wear it. There was rumours. Is it going to be what we think it is? Or is it going to be, you know, a scuffle between them and FTR? That's a thing. No, it wasn't. They aired it. I don't really know what to say, but maybe we should throw it to Jamie. Jamie, they aired it. There's been, I think it's fair to say, not shitting on AW, there's been a lot of negative backlash online in respect of them airing it. A lot of people have basically just said it's backfired on them. I don't know if people have seen the videos of people in the arena, but they were basically, as soon as Punk pushed Jack Perry, everybody cheered, and the crowd were chanting CM Punk. They even chanted CM Punk for a couple of matches afterwards as well. And I mean, I don't know if their goal was to try and embarrass CM Punk or show something different as to what Punk showed, but I mean, it didn't even show anything different. There's literally a video that somebody's uploaded, which has had a few million hits now, where it's from CM Punk being on the podcast a couple of weeks ago of him. It's a split screen video of him describing what happened, whilst on the other side of the video it shows the footage, and it is exactly as he said what happened as well. So now you've seen the footage, Jamie, and I mean, just your personal opinion, what's your thoughts? What was the reason for it? Do you think they achieved whatever it was that they were trying to achieve? Do you agree with it? Just some general thoughts.
Well, and I know I'll let you all kind of shit all over it, as I'm sure you are all going to. So I'll come from it from a different perspective, just to give it a little bit of a difference, a differentiation, so to speak. So in terms of the footage, we had the CM Punk interview with the guy that I'm not going to try and pronounce.
Ali Al-Halwani.
There you go. So he obviously had that. And then from what you've just said, the footage showed exactly what was on there. So were they trying to show something different? Probably not. Obviously, what happened happened. Obviously, there was no dialogue there. It was all silent. So obviously, we don't know what was said in terms of provoking them. Obviously, what happened there. But in terms of why they did it and what happens, they said the main reason they're doing it is to progress storyline. That is why they are doing it. That's what Tony Khan said. We are doing it because it's progressing storyline. And it makes sense in terms of the Young Bucks, the FTR. They were basically saying they lost that match all in Wembley because they had their EVP caps on and they basically couldn't concentrate because they had that happen previous. CM Punk is obviously good friends with FTR. But like as you mentioned with Jack Perry, the other party in this situation, the scapegoat, as he was kind of referenced to as well on AEW television, it's all a way to bring him back into AEW. And if you watched the Windy City New Japan Pro Wrestling show, as I'm hopefully Dan did because he watches every wrestling show, Jack Perry's reception was incredible. Like literally everybody was loving him. He did the CM Punk knee in the face in the corner. He went for the GTS and ultimately lost the match as well. So Jack Perry's getting great response from it as well. Whether that was the intention of what some people think of what's going to happen. And I think it could lead to Jack Perry rejoining AEW, possibly helping the Young Bucks win at Dynasty this weekend and joining the Elite. Putting him in, nice Hollywood Jack Perry, as we always said he should have been last year rather than the heel Jack Perry. I mean, he kind of turned a little bit Hollywood with his leather jacket, but putting him in suits, jackets, nice cars, joining the Elite. I think it's a great business. I think it does make sense storyline-wise for it to happen. I do agree in some respects as well, which you're all going to take that turn onto now, in terms of the whole hashtag WCW 2000. Tony Schiavone looked like he was having a great time when he was there as well. And there was obviously those shades of that. However, I think in terms of the storyline, it makes sense for it to happen. They didn't show anything new. They weren't trying to shit on anybody. CM Punk already said what happened. They weren't going, oh, we're going to show you something else. CM Punk said what's going to happen, so we showed you the footage of it. He started it, so we're going to show you what happened. And now they can start bringing Jack Perry into that conversation and start building his character from that as well. Bring him back onto television. And like I said, they had a nice CM Punk jump, which again, you're arguing to have somebody cheer in a different company. I understand that it's a little bit silly, but you know, we're all talking about it a week later. I don't know what the ratings were in terms of how it did or whatever. I know it's got loads of dislikes on YouTube because
it was 800,000. I think they were trying to hit the million mark and just about missed out on the 900,000.
But it is what it is. I don't mind it per se. It was what it was. Was it the best segment or like promo that's ever happened in AEW or in wrestling? No, it wasn't. But you know, it's fine. As long as we get Jack Perry joining the Elite and it brings him back and it's good storytelling, I don't mind. And now I'll let you all shit all over it. Oh, go on.
No, I mean, I'm not going to shit on it as much. I don't agree with what they did, and I do think it slightly backfired. But at the same time, I suppose the only question I would... Jack Perry's going to come back. It's inevitable. And they're just letting, you know, let the coals, what's the analogy I'm looking for, or the phrase, I don't know. They're just waiting for it to die down fully, you know, they've had long enough. So Jack Perry's going to come back. But I suppose the question I would throw out there is, what if he doesn't come back on the back of this? What would people then look back on it? Because if it is to get him back maybe as quick as this weekend for Dynasty, okay, fair enough. I can see more of an argument for it. I still don't necessarily agree with it because I just think it's a bit of a shit situation in general and they should really be bigger than that. But I can still see an argument to doing it if it's going to develop the storyline and bring him back. But if he doesn't come back from it and he still doesn't come back and for another 3 or 4 months till the end of summer in a different storyline, let's say for argument's sake, will people look back on it with even more negativity than I just go, well, actually, it didn't even lead to anything to do with Jack Perry anyway. So what was the point? Was it just to try and embarrass CM Punk?
It needs to, the whole reason, Tony Khan said it's for storyline purposes. I'll be surprised if Jack Perry isn't back within the month. I would be quite surprised if it's not this Sunday, because I think in terms of the storyline, it makes sense. There is a reason for it to happen, surely. And that's what I'd like to believe. We can all say how shit he is, or he can't book, or he's a terrible whatever. I mean, there's a reason he has won Booker of the Year 4 years in a row. He can tell stories. AEW, you've had some of the best stories over the last few years. And I do believe there will be a purpose to this, and which we'll wait for and talk about next week, hopefully, of the return of Jack Perry.
Well, we'll see. Dan, Joe, what's your thoughts on the situation?
Well, Joe and I watched it in the pub. We watched it in the Carpenters in Newport. I said, I even asked the guys behind the bar, I was like, oh, can you put it on? I was like, go on, we'll have a watch of this. And the show
said, can you turn it up? Oh, no, wait, there's no sound. They didn't play any sound from the CCTV.
Well, no. We put £3 in the jukebox. We played the classics while we watched it. It's all good. but we started watching. They had Edge versus Penta. And by God, that was a dreadful match. Both of them looked like they were blown up all the way through. There was a couple botched Canadian Destroyer and Pile Driver spots. It was absolutely painful to watch. Then they followed it up with a six-man. And, like, you wouldn't have thought Anthony Ogogo was in it. I mean, Dean's a big boxing fan. I was like, oh, is Anthony Ogogo there? They didn't give him a good showing. You've got something marquee that everybody wants to see, which is this footage. And yeah, a lot of us watch it on Twitter, but you're watching it on the telly.
Well, let's be honest, this was why people were tuning in specifically for this episode.
But you look at what happened before they shared that footage and what happened after they shared that footage. And it was just dire, absolutely boring. Like, we were struggling to keep, like, obviously we're in the pub, it's Friday night, we're having a chat as it is. Like, we were half watching it, but we were just almost like, oh, I can't be bothered watching this. Like, there's no point sticking around to watch it. You know, the six-man that they had before. And then they had the Bucks talking rubbish for a good 10 minutes before they aired the footage. And you're like, oh, well, if you're going to show it, get on with it. The actual production of it was so boring, so droll. And then you're watching the footage, and it's just like, okay, well, like you said, it's exactly what CM Punk said happened. Okay, why do I need to see this? Oh, look, he's there. He's putting his hand through his hair. He's getting in his face. CM Punk pushes him, puts him in headlock. Chris Hero and Samoa Joe help break it up. And then that's the end of the footage. Oh, well, that's a waste of my time. I just think the production of it, absolutely bollocks. You know, if you think of when in WCW 2000, when they had all these big musty moments, but you look at the bollocks that they had before it, you're like, well, I can't be bothered to put up with the rest of the show, to be honest. I think the rest of the show needs to be elevated by it. You're getting views on the product. I just think that they didn't hit a home run. They missed with this one.
Right. Come on then, Joe. Are we going to have a bit more of a balance? Are you going to be balanced between this? Or are you going to be more on Jamie's side or Dan's side? What's your thoughts?
I just think it's just childish bullshit, to be honest.
Yeah.
Obviously, CM Punk had that interview with Ariel Helwani, and Tony Khan and Young Bucks have seen that and gone, well, fuck you then, we'll just show you the footage, and then they've just tried to make the storyline fit the footage and them showing it. They're like, okay, we're going to show the footage, but I think they basically thought, if you just show the footage, that's going to make us look really petty, so we'll just try and fit it in with the story we're already having. And then basically Tony Khan was like, well, no, I'm just going to show the footage anyway. The best time to show the footage was just after it happened, like, CM Punk's been fired, and this is why, and here's the footage, and then control the narrative, like, tell the story their way. Obviously,
I suppose maybe that's my issue with it, is if you're going to try and incorporate it into storyline, fair enough, and I've already said, if they don't then incorporate that to Jack Perry, then I don't see what the reason for showing it was. But with CM Punk, what are you trying to gain if it's not a storyline? There's been an altercation, whether you're on CM Punk's side, whether you're on Jack Perry's side, or neither of their side. Ultimately, somebody, or both of them technically, have been punished. Jack Perry was punished with suspension and he's been gone for a few months now. CM Punk was punished by being fired. If it is, and I'm not suggesting it is, because I'd like to go off what Jamie has said for, you know, to be fair and for balance, that I'm hoping it is just to try and elevate things for the storyline itself. But if it isn't, and it is purely from an embarrassment side of things, like, what? That's what I don't get. You've punished the individual already. You released him from his contract. You terminated his employment because you didn't agree with his actions. That should be the end of the matter. If somebody isn't performing in their job or doesn't do something or does something against the ethics of the company, you will be taken into a HR meeting and you will be told you're employment's terminated. That will be the end of the matter. The company wouldn't then 4 or 5 months later then put out on a news outlet or even just to the rest of the company, oh, do you remember that person that we sacked for this? Well, you heard it was for this reason. It was, and here's all the evidence to show why you sacked. No, because a reputable professional company doesn't do that. They relieve the person of their duties and it's an internal management matter, nobody else's. So that's the issue that I have with it if it's not going to be part of storyline. And I suppose on the flip side as well is, why should it be part of storyline? If there's a real life altercation, if there is that resulted in people losing their jobs, you could also argue, why should that even be involved in storyline? Because that in itself is a very professional. But I can understand why they're probably doing it from a storyline standpoint. If so, I just don't necessarily agree with it. But at the same time, there's been, in the fairness of balance, there have been far worse things that have happened in wrestling, both from a storyline perspective and a real life perspective. Look at the Vince McMahon side of things at the moment within the WWE. They've arguably got far worse things going on in respect of him than AEW showing the footage of CM Punk, whether we all agree with it or not. But I mean, yeah, that's the situation. We'll see how it plays out and we'll see whether or not it does lead to anything for Dynasty this weekend. Jamie, you shall be watching Dynasty, I assume. Would you want to give us a little preview?
Yes, of course. I will be watching it live on Sunday till about 5 a.m. Get an hour sleep. Get up for the train. What a time to be alive.
It's only what I did for Mania. Except I didn't get up for the train. I just had to get up,
get up for the train. Yeah, you're one time a year that you do it. Well done.
It is true.
But no, I'm very excited for this card. I mean, you've got to look at this card, which, again, as I kind of mentioned off the air, it's kind of like a Dave Meltzer wet dream that's going to happen with all of this. We've got eagerly anticipated match, first time ever, of the greatest wrestler of the 21st century, Bryan Danielson, versus the greatest wrestler now of Will Ospreay. So what a match that is going to be. We could have a new AEW world champion with the Swerve Strickland defeating Samoa Joe for the title. Will he finally do it? Who knows? He might get screwed over by Hangman Page. We'll see what happens. But no, you've got the Young Bucks and FTR with a possible somebody coming down to help.
Why are they facing each other again, though? I mean, this is how many
because
times
they're
they
the
face
two
each
best
other
tag
now
teams in the world.
I know where the FTR are. Yeah, but I know I get it, but come on now, we have seen it a trillion times. It reminds me of when Sheamus and Cesaro just faced each other every week for.
And then they created
months.
Arguably one of the best tag teams in modern day history.
Yeah, they set the bar.
The bar.
No, they set the bar high, no pun intended, they did. Sorry, carry on, Jamie.
Yeah. I mean, you've got some of the other cards. I mean, you've got that random trios match between House of Black, Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe. Fair enough. I mean, stuff that's going on there at the minute. Okada v Pac, that'll be pretty tasty for the Continental Championship. Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly for the International Championship. Timeless Tony Storm against Thunder Rosa for
what's
the women's
all this
world
kissing business I've been seeing.
I'm
talking about AEW, not any other online videos.
Mariah May, it was kind of a thing that she did with her partner from Stardom, which is why she's kind of come into it at the moment as well. But it's just something that they've always done. Mariah May and her, and I think Tony Storm has kind of adopted it, and there's been some kind of obviously tension there, because I think it is going to ultimately lead to, I don't know what's going to happen with Jamie Hayter and stuff, but at the moment I think it is going to be Timeless Tony Storm versus Mariah May at All In.
Like, why didn't they just build that for Dynamite? Forget the CM Punk footage. Why not just advertise Tony Storm will kiss another woman this week on Dynamite? Make sure they'll all be tuning in.
Well, if you want to go back to the early 2000s and Eric Bischoff's Monday Night Raw, some HLA.
LA. Google that, people.
Tony Storm, Mariah May is most likely going to be All In, which I can't wait for to see Mariah May win it in her hometown of England because she speaks English. And Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale as well, where the winner will face Mercedes Moné at Double or Nothing.
Who's going to walk out of Dynasty as the world champion?
It's quite an interesting one. The thing is, the Samoa Joe storyline, he was never going to hold it that long. I think Swerve is so hot at the moment that he does need to do it. I mean, we did predict at the start of the year he is going to win the world title this year. I thought possibly they'll leave it till later, possibly at All In.
I still think they will. I still think it's slightly too early on. I still agree that he'll pick the title up this year, but I think they'll give it a few more months.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Page has been off TV a little bit recently as well, so I think we might see a return of him to kind of screw Swerve over so they can have another match, because they do like to have some kind of bloody matches going on. So we might see that, and obviously MJF isn't ready to come back yet. So keep it going for a little bit longer.
He's debuting at the Rumble. Oh, no, wait, hang on. He's going to make his debut in the main event at WrestleMania. Oh, no, wait, hang on. Yeah, no, he's coming back to AEW.
Oh, no, wait, Okada are going to be in the Rumble, I heard. I heard somebody say that. I'm looking forward to it. It's a stacked card, and you got to think this card as well. Like, looking at this card, there's no Antonio Cesaro. There's no Adam Cole. There's no MJF. There's no Orange Cassidy. Like,
thank God.
There's no Chris Jericho.
There's no
New Japan Pro Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion, by the way, John Moxley. He's just won that. So you're thinking all of those superstars that aren't on this card, and it's still stacked from top to bottom. The only match I'm not 100% sold on is that trios match. But every single match I cannot wait for. It's going to be bloody beautiful.
It's going to be the creamy. And speaking of Will Ospreay, he's urged UK lawmakers to legalise marijuana. So
he
there
did.
We go.
He said it on AEW when he was with RJ City.
Yes, yeah. So there you go. I'm sure Richie Sunak is in the Cabinet Office right now going, come on now, guys.
No, they're banning cigarettes as we speak.
They are, as we speak, they're not banning them fully. They're putting the age of consent of buying.
No, if you're born after 2009, you're never going
to
be able to.
Yes, you're never going to be able to, because they're going to, in theory, push it on a year every year until
you. So if you think that they're going to listen to Will Ospreay and then look to legalize marijuana when they're looking to ban nicotine on the same thing, I think.
But that's currently whilst we still have a Conservative government, although I don't expect Labour to change that policy because they've put they've agreed with the Conservatives on this and voted the bill through there. But this isn't a political podcast. We only talk about
marijuana isn't nicotine. That's just like saying they're going to ban vape as well. They're three completely different things.
No, they've already banned those single-use vapes, haven't they? They're called Elkhart or something, I don't know.
I bet Joe enjoys
a pint on a Friday night whilst watching his favourite episodes of AEW Dynamite with a cherry vape in one hand.
It's the most annoying thing in the world, I think. I'm not going to go on a rant about vapes.
About what? Too low.
But like literally, like I was on the train and a guy was like, is this seat taken? I was like, no, it's fine. I like to sit at a table. I like to play Football Manager on my way to work or on the way home just to detail. So I always have my laptop on and he's just there in front of me with his vape, like looking around really silently, trying to sneakily do it. He's got his little finger up there covering the top of it, and then a
as if people
and then slowly breathing it out. Yeah. Like, it makes a really big sound when you breathe it in.
Yeah.
And it's just and like, and it lights
in
up
the air anyway, so you can
and
see
it lights
that anyway.
Up when you're breathing yeah. in as well. So it's the most annoying thing in the world. I think it's more addictive than cigarettes, especially working at a college as well. People cannot live without it. It's in their hands 24/7. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. And it's more addictive because you just have the habit of it just going just randomly. Because if you light a cigarette, you've got to smoke the whole cigarette and then you'd be done with it. And you won't smoke again for probably 2 hours. But you literally go every bloody 30 seconds. Right. Anyway, I'll stop because...
Burnley's finest.
Crack cocaine, you can't use that every 30 seconds, there you go. Right, well, enjoy Dynasty anyhow, Jamie. I will watch it back on Monday. I'm sure Dan and Joe will just have a read of the results.
Yeah, I'm not watching it.
Yes, I thought so. Right, Joe, do you have a quiz for us to finish off this week?
I do. It is about our tribal chief, Robin Reigns.
No, oh, it's the tribal chief, Taryn. Now, I was going to say, I'm going to win. I'll know all the answers.
Okay, so question number one. Which premium live event did Roman Reigns first defend his Universal title? Oh. So when he first won the title, which premium live event did he first defend it at? Okay, question number two. In 2023, Roman surpassed another long reigning champion Reigns at day 871. Which superstar did he surpass?
How many days was that? Sorry, 871.
871. So in 2023, Roman Reigns surpassed another long reigning superstar at day 871. Which superstar did he surpass?
Okay.
What year did, next question, what year did Roman Reigns first beat Sami Zayn for the Universal title? So what year did he first beat Sami Zayn for the Universal title? So he had a match against Sami Zayn for the Universal title. What year was it?
Okay.
Okay. Next question. Which champion did Roman face in a champion versus championship match? Which superstar did he face in a champion versus champion match?
Actually,
what was that, world title versus world title?
Yes, it was world title versus world title. Who did he face in a world title versus world title match?
Okay.
Next question. Roman Reigns faced Daniel Bryan, but who was the special guest referee?
Okay. I'm guessing off of these.
At WrestleMania 40, Roman Reigns defended his Universal title. How many WrestleManias in a row did he defend his Universal title? So the last one, obviously he was defeated by Cody Rhodes, but how many WrestleManias in a row has he defended his Universal title?
Pardon me. Right, okay.
Next question. Which title did Roman Reigns challenge for when he was the undisputed tag team champ? So as well as Universal title, which he already held, which other championship did he try to get as well?
Okay.
Next question. I think we'll all get this. Nice and easy. Which incident led to Finn Balor's loss at Extreme Rules? So there's a specific incident which caused him to lose Extreme Rules. What was the incident? Something happened in the match causing him to lose Extreme Rules. What was it?
When he said, I think we'll all get this, and I can't remember.
I got it.
I can remember him doing something stupid in the match.
It's fucking stupid.
But
yeah,
the reason?
It's stupid. Something happened in the match, in the ring, causing Finn Balor to lose. That's as much of a clue as I'm going to give you. Something happened.
Okay. I'll just
it's easy that. Enough.
Yeah, yeah. I've just put something and you can tell me whether you'll give me the point or not.
Okay. Name the final superstar Roman pin as Universal Champion. So before, obviously, he beat Cody Rhodes beat him for the Universal title. Who was the last person that Roman Reigns pinned as Universal Champion? Next question, last question. How long did it take for Roman Reigns to defeat Goldberg in minutes? How long did it take for Roman Reigns to beat Goldberg in minutes? I give you a clue, not very long.
Was that a Mania match? Or because they faced each other a couple of times, haven't they? They faced each other at Elimination Chamber as well, I think.
I assume you mean Mania.
Yeah, Mania, yeah. How long did it take for Roman Reigns to defeat Goldberg at Mania? I'll give you a clue, it wasn't very long.
Oh, okay.
Do you need me to repeat anything?
No.
Okay, no. Cool. Question number one. Which premier live event did Roman Reigns first defend his title at? Taron.
I put Royal Rumble because I thought... It was probably Survivor Series, no one. I thought he returned at SummerSlam, so he must have won the title at Survivor Series, so he must have defended it at the Royal Rumble. That was my logic.
Jamie?
I went for Survivor Series, actually. I remember him returning, but didn't he win it at SummerSlam?
No, he returned, did he? Because you'll never see it coming. I don't know. Like, he might very well have done it.
Yeah, so I went for
Survivor. He just attacked Bray Wyatt at SummerSlam, didn't he?
Chad?
Yeah, I think it was in between because he had that having the cell match as well, which was just it, afterwards, before. Yeah. But I went for SummerSlam. I couldn't think of the one in between, but so I went SummerSlam.
It was Clash of Champions. So he came back.
Right.
He came back at the end of SummerSlam. Yeah. And you'll never see it coming. Then he won it at Payback against Braun Strowman, and then he defended it at Clash of Champions.
Fair enough. Good shout.
When he could defend the title.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. In 2023, Roman Reigns surpassed which other superstar at day 871 for the longest reigning title? Dan?
Bruno Sammartino.
Jamie?
Yeah, I've got the same Bruno.
I also have Bruno.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. Next question. When did Roman Reigns first beat Sami Zayn for Universal title? What year? Jamie.
2023.
Taron?
2016.
Dan?
2018.
2021. Got the exact date here. 12th of December 2021. Roman Reigns first beat Sami Zayn for Universal title. Oh, well, obviously... He went for the Universal title. Sami Zayn lost. That was the first time he beat him.
Fair enough.
Nice and easy. Which champion did Roman Reigns face for the champion versus championship match? Dan?
Brock Lesnar.
Jamie?
Brock Lesnar.
Taron?
Dean Ambrose.
It's Brock Lesnar.
Oh. I'm sure they had a Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns had a champion versus champion match against each other. I don't know why I thought that.
Okay. Who was special guest referee in Roman Reigns versus Bryan Danielson match or Bryan Daniel Bryan match? Jamie?
Edge.
Taron?
Yep, no idea. Seth Rollins.
Dan?
Kevin Owens.
It was Edge.
Yeah, makes sense because of the Mania match, doesn't it? Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
Next question. At WrestleMania 40, he defended his Universal titles. For how many WrestleManias in a row did he defend his Universal title? Taron.
Four.
Jamie.
I've gone for four as well.
Dan.
Three.
Four.
Three.
2020 was his first one, and then it obviously gone to 2024. Next question.
If 2020 was the first one, that's 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. That's 20, five.
2020 couldn't have been the first one because he couldn't defend it. Braun Strowman is
Goldberg. Sorry, yeah, 2021, sorry. Sorry, apologies. Next question. Which other title did he challenge for whilst he was a Universal Champion? Matt?
Tag. You said it. It's not the question.
Did I?
Oh well, then. Oh, so I've heard the question wrong then. Well, I heard him say tag, but I thought he said
When he was going for tag championship, he was Universal champion. What title was he going for?
I thought he said whilst he was the tag champion, what other title did he go for? So I misheard the question then.
I didn't. I said tag.
So while he was Universal champion, I said what championship? You got it right. It's tag.
I'll be honest and say I got it wrong. I put Intercontinental.
I must have said here the question then. Oh well.
You did.
Next one. Which incident led to Finn Balor's loss at Extreme Rules? It was something to do with the ring, I said. Taryn?
Go to Taryn first.
Didn't the rope break and he had a fit or something?
Which one are you going for?
It was both. He'd had a fit and he got up to the top and the rope broke and he fell and he had a fit. Something like that. I don't know.
It sounds so stupid, but it's true.
Oh, there you go, then.
The rope snaps. Yeah, the rope snaps. I'll give you a point for that time. The rope snaps.
Yeah, lovely. I'll take that.
I bet the whole fit thing was just because it.
Well, the fit might have been beforehand when he was trying to challenge the power back into him, I think, because the lights went off and the heartbeat was going and stuff. But yeah, the rope definitely broke and he definitely had a fit at least once.
He definitely had a fit. That was terrible Vince booking. Don't want to talk about that again. Next question. Name the final superstar Roman Reigns pinned. Dan.
AJ Styles.
Jamie.
I went for Jey Uso.
Taryn.
Oh, I went for Jimmy Uso.
It was AJ Styles.
Oh, it was in the triple threat, wasn't it? The really faced LA Knight, AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Glad to be talking with you.
Last question. How long did it take for Roman Reigns to defeat Goldberg? I gave you a clue. It wasn't very long, Jamie.
I went for 8 minutes.
1:56.
Dad?
1:57.
Oh!
It was 6 minutes.
Jamie.
I knew it was. I was going to say, I knew.
I knew it.
I originally went for 5 minutes, and I went, I'm sure it's something around about 8 minutes 30. No.
Guys, I only got 3
points. I mean, I get the point.
So no way in danger there. Yeah, you get the point on that one.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Go on.
I literally only got 3.
6.
7! Yes, that last one gave you the point.
And the leaderboard shows Joe still to get off the mark. Dan on 2, I'm on 3, James on 5. Thanks for the quiz though, Joe. Very good. Shows I don't know anything about the tribal chief, but then
because
that's me
you
anyway.
Are our tribal
because chief. I am. There you are. Dan, where can everybody find us on the socials?
Yeah, we're on Facebook, X, Instagram and Threads. We're Grapplecast Show. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. Grapplecast Show. Make sure you like, rate and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Lovely. Well, I would normally say enjoy the pay-per-view this weekend. Enjoy Dynasty. I mean, to all our AEW fans out there, please do. Jamie, please do enjoy Dynasty. And as I said, I will watch it on Monday. Dan, Joe, if you have a change of heart, do enjoy it. But other than that, enjoy the bump tomorrow. It is on a Wednesday, isn't it? There you go. Yeah, the bump.
I always enjoy the bump.
Lovely stuff. Enjoy the rest of your wrestling week, and we will see you all next week. Jamie, sign us up.
I mean, yeah, I guess without further ado, I bid you goodbye. Good night, bruv, and watch for the shoe.
Ta-ra, guys. Bring the bell!